and see evidence of it all around you. You are nearing the second stage of the process of transforming life on your planet, and it can be complete in a very short period of time, a few decades, one or two generations, if you choose. The first stage of this transformation has taken much longer, indeed several thousand years. But even this, in cosmic terms, is a very short time. It is during this period of the awakening of humanity that individuals whom you have called teacher, master, guru, or avatar undertook the task of reminding others of who they really are. As the number of people who are touched by this very early group and their teaching increases to critical mass, you will experience a quickening of the spirit, or what you might call a breakthrough, in which second stage transformation begins. Now the adults begin teaching their young, and from that point, the movement is very fast. Your race is at this breakthrough point now. Many humans felt a shift when you moved into your new millennium. This was a key point in the onset of a global shift of consciousness in which you are now playing your role. The key to continuing this momentum lies with your young. If the education of your offspring now includes certain life principles, your species can make the quantum leap forward in its evolution of which it is capable. Build your schools around concepts, not academic subjects. Core concepts such as awareness, honesty, responsibility. Subtopics such as transparency, sharing, freedom, full self-expression, joyous sexual celebration, human bonding, and diversity in oneness. Teach your children these things and you will have taught them grandly. Above all, teach them of the illusion, and how and why to live with it and not within it. How can you see the illusion as an illusion when it appears to be so real? And how is it that it seems so real if it is an illusion? These are the questions humans are beginning to ask as your species moves into the experience of its own conscious evolution. Now there will be answers, and you will step out of the illusion of ignorance. I will give you answers here for your consideration. Remember, as with all communications from God, take what you read as valuable, but not as infallible. Know that you are your own highest authority. Whether you read the Talmud or the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran, the Pali Canon or the Book of Mormon, or any holy text, do not place your source of authority outside of you, but rather go within to see if the truth you found is in harmony with the truth you find in your heart. If it is, do not say to others, "This book is true." Say, "This book is true for me." And if others ask you about the way you are living because of the truth you have found within you, be sure to say that yours is not a better way. Yours is merely another way. For that is what this present communication is. This communication is just another way of looking at things. If it makes the world more clear for you, fine. If it puts you more closely in touch with your own innermost truth, good. But be careful not to turn this into your new holy scripture, for then you will have simply replaced one set of beliefs with another. Seek not a set of beliefs. Seek an awareness of what you know. Use whatever you find that returns you to that awareness. Understand that you are living an illusion and that none of it is real. Yet the illusion points to what is real and can give you an experience of it. How can you see the illusion as an illusion when it appears to be so real? And how is it that it seems so real if it is an illusion? The second question will be answered first. The illusion seems so real because so many people believe that it is not an illusion. In your Alice in Wonderland world, everything is as you believe it to be. There are thousands, millions of examples of that. Here are two. Once you believed the sun revolved around the earth. And indeed for you it did. All of your evidence proved that it did. So certain were you of this truth that you developed an entire science of astronomy around it. Once you believed that everything physical moved from one point to another through time and space. All of your evidences proved it. So certain were you of this truth that you built an entire system of physics around it. Now listen carefully. The wonder of these sciences and these systems is that they worked. The astronomy that you created based on your belief that the Earth was the center of the universe worked to explain the visual phenomena you saw in the movement of the planets across the night sky. Your observations supported your belief, creating what you called knowledge. The physics that you created based on your belief about particles of matter worked to explain the visual phenomena you saw in the physical world. Again, your observations supported your belief, creating what you called knowledge. Only later, when you looked more closely at what you were seeing, did you change your mind about these things. Yet that change of mind did not come easily. The first people who suggested such a change of mind were called heretics, or in later times, foolish or mistaken. Their ideas of a new astronomy, with the Earth revolving around the sun, or of quantum physics, in which particles of matter did not move in a continuous line through time and space, but were seen to disappear in one place and reappear in another, were labeled spiritual and scientific blasphemy. Their proponents were discouraged, denounced, even put to death for their beliefs. It is your beliefs that were true, the majority of you insisted. After all, were they not supported by every observation? Yet which came first, the belief or the observation? That is the central question. That is the inquiry you did not wish to make. Is it possible that you see what you want to see? Could it be that you observe what you expect to observe? Or perhaps more to the point, do you look right past what you do not expect to observe? I tell you, the answer is yes. Even today, when you are modern science, tired of the mistakes of the past, vows to observe first and draw conclusions later, still those conclusions cannot be trusted. That is because it is impossible for you to look at anything objectively.
Science has concluded that nothing which is observed is unaffected by the observer. Spirituality told you this centuries ago, and now science is caught up. Your doctors and laboratories have learned that they must conduct double-blind tests during important research to even come close to guaranteeing accuracy. In human experience, all things are considered within the context of what you think you already understand. You cannot help do this. You know no other way to proceed. Put another way, you are looking at the illusion from within the illusion. Every conclusion you come to about the illusion is therefore based on the illusion, and so every conclusion is an illusion. Let this be your new insight and your constant reminder. Every conclusion is an illusion. Now, let us return to the first question. How can you recognize the illusion as an illusion when it seems so real? You have just learned that the reason it seems so real is not because it is real, but because you believe so firmly that it is. Therefore, to change the way you see the illusion, change what you believe about it. In the past, you were told that seeing is believing. But lately, a new idea has been advanced, that believing is seeing. And I tell you, this is true. If, when you confront the illusion, you believe it is an illusion, you will see it as an illusion, even though it seems very real. You will then be able to use the illusion as it was intended to be used, as a tool with which to experience ultimate reality. You will remember to create the illusion. You will cause it to be what you wish it to be, rather than simply watching it present itself as you think it has to be, out of your agreement that that's just the way it is. So, just how can you do this? You are already doing it. You simply do not know it, and are thus making unconscious rather than conscious choices. That is, when you are making true choices at all. Most of the time, you're simply accepting the choices of others. Your choice has been to choose what others have chosen, and so you relive the cultural story of your forebears, as they did of theirs, even on to the seventh generation. The day that you stop choosing what has been chosen for you will be the moment of your liberation. You will not then escape the illusion, but be liberated from it. You will step outside of the illusion, but will continue to live with it, free of its ability to control you or your reality. You will never choose to end the illusion once you understand its purpose, until your own purpose is fulfilled. Your purpose is not only to know and experience who you really are, but to create who you next will be. It is your function to recreate yourself anew in every single moment of now, in the next grandest version of the greatest vision ever you held about who you are. This is the process you have called evolution. Yet you need not be affected by this process in any negative way. You can be in this world, but not of it. When you are, you will begin to experience the world as you choose to experience it. You will then understand and experience itself to be an action rather than a reaction, something that you are making, not something that you are having. When you understand this secret, everything in your life will change. When enough of you understand this, everything on your planet will change. Those who have understood this secret have been called masters. Those who have taught this secret have been called avatars. Those who have lived this secret have been called blessed. Therefore, blessed be.